Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Sleep tight, but keep one eye open. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
I'm Tony Bruschi, and today we go where the headlines won't. Beyond the public smiles, beyond the viral videos, and into the darkest corners of one of the most disturbing lawsuits to hit the music industry. Cassandra Ventura, known as Cassie, has come forward with a lawsuit that pulls no punches. It's not just a breakup story. It's a chilling chronicle of power, control, and violence spanning over a decade. We're not here to skim the surface. We're digging into the horrifying details, line by line, of what Cassie alleges. Forced into violent sexual encounters with strangers while Sean Diddy Combs watched, filmed, and directed. Beaten so badly she was hidden in hotels until her bruises healed. Cursed into carrying his gun, just to remind her who held the power. And in one terrifying act of jealousy, her lover's car blown to pieces. This isn't just a case about a controlling boyfriend. It's a story of psychological warfare and survival. We're going to unpack each allegation, every sickening detail, every attempt at escape, and the ways Combs allegedly used his wealth and influence to tighten the noose around Cassie. Brace yourself. Because what we're about to uncover may change everything you thought you knew. The allegations brought by Cassandra Ventura against Sean Diddy Combs aren't just shocking. They paint a picture of systematic abuse that spanned more than a decade, using power, fear, and manipulation to control every aspect of her life. It's not just the violence that stuns, but the deliberate way it was allegedly executed, concealed, and normalized. From public beatings to coerced sexual encounters, these accusations expose a chilling dynamic. Let's take it from the beginning. Every horrific allegation laid bare line by line. A pattern of physical violence. Throughout their relationship, Combs allegedly subjected Cassie to repeated acts of physical violence. According to the lawsuit, the beatings were savage and sustained. On multiple occasions, he allegedly punched, kicked, and stomped on her. The bruises and black eyes were so frequent that Combs would hide her in hotels until the visible injuries faded. Each beating was followed by expensive gifts, cars, jewelry, luxury clothing, an eerie cycle of abuse and reward. This pattern made it clear, survival meant submission. In one incident, after attending a party with Jay-Z, Combs allegedly attacked Cassie inside an SUV, kicking her repeatedly before throwing her out onto Fifth Avenue in New York. Alone, injured, and terrified, she hailed a cab back to her apartment. This wasn't an isolated event. The lawsuit states that Combs repeatedly escalated his violence in response to even the smallest perceived slights. One of the most brutal assaults occurred in Los Angeles when Combs found out Cassie had spoken to another music executive at a party. Enraged, he allegedly dragged her out of the club, pinned her in a car, and stomped on her face. His own security staff, including longtime bodyguard Roger Bonds, tried and failed to intervene. Once inside his home, the beating allegedly continued, with Combs kicking her in the face and leaving her bleeding and vomiting on the floor. Fearing consequences, he stashed her at the London Hotel for a week until her injuries healed. The violence wasn't limited to physical attacks. The lawsuit describes a sinister form of sexual exploitation, what Combs allegedly called freak-offs. These were orchestrated sexual encounters where Cassie was forced to engage in sex with male sex workers while Combs watched, filmed, and directed the acts. According to the lawsuit, these sessions sometimes lasted for days, fueled by drugs, with Combs ensuring both Cassie and the sex workers were intoxicated to the point of dissociation. The logistics were meticulously planned. Combs' staff allegedly prepared hotel suites with oil and other props, and Cassie was instructed to wear white nail polish to contrast with the skin of the men hired for the acts. Over time, Combs demanded Cassie herself arrange these encounters, searching for sex workers through escort services and websites under his direction. At times, Combs flew these men across the country just to fulfill his twisted fantasies. The lawsuit claims Combs recorded these acts obsessively, treating them like a personal art project, adjusting candles for lighting, using his phone, laptop, or tablet to film every angle. Even when Cassie deleted the videos from her own devices, Combs allegedly showed her how he could recover them, reminding her that she was under his control. On one flight, he forced her to watch one of these videos, reinforcing her inability to escape. Control wasn't just maintained through violence and coercion. It extended into every aspect of Cassie's life. Combs allegedly forced her to carry his gun in her purse to keep her on edge, a constant reminder of his power. According to the lawsuit, he once ran out of their apartment with a firearm, chasing after a rival music executive he believed was nearby, leaving Cassie petrified. Combs also made it clear that anyone who crossed him would face retaliation. When Cassie briefly dated Kid Cudi during a rough patch in their relationship, Combs allegedly told her he would blow up Cudi's car. Weeks later, Cudi's car exploded in his driveway, a chilling example of the lengths Combs would allegedly go to maintain control over Cassie's life. Even after the most brutal acts of violence, Combs manipulated those around him to cover for him. His staff reportedly wept after witnessing the extent of his abuse, but still did nothing to intervene. The network of enablers extended beyond security personnel. According to the lawsuit, even Sony Music executives and Combs' attorney pressured Cassie to stay silent, warning that her career would be destroyed if she didn't return to him. Cassie tried to escape multiple times. Each time, Combs allegedly used his extensive network to track her down. When she hit at a friend's house in Florida, James Cruz, president of Bad Boy Management, found her and issued a warning. If she didn't return, her single wouldn't be released. A Sony Music employee echoed the threat, reinforcing the message that defying Combs would mean professional ruin. In another disturbing incident, Combs allegedly entered Cassie's house unannounced using his personal key, leading to an altercation with one of her close friends, Carrie Morgan. The incident reportedly ended with Combs throwing a hanger at Morgan, and Cassie was later forced to pay her friend to smooth over the fallout. The lawsuit details how, even after Cassie tried to end the relationship in 2018, Combs allegedly raped her. After inviting her to dinner under the pretext of a peaceful conversation, Combs forced his way into her apartment and assaulted her while she pleaded for him to stop. That was the breaking point. Cassie took steps to sever all ties, returning the car and apartment he provided and signing agreements to end her record deal with Bad Boy Records. The lawsuit paints a grim picture of the aftermath of Cassie's escape. She struggled with addiction, turning to drugs and alcohol to cope with the trauma she endured. Even after becoming a mother, the memories of forced sexual acts and brutal beatings haunted her. At times, the trauma was so overwhelming that she contemplated taking her own life. Cassie's road to recovery has been long and painful. requiring inpatient treatment and years of intensive therapy. The lawsuit emphasizes that despite her progress, she will carry the psychological scars of Combs' abuse for the rest of her life. This lawsuit doesn't just expose a toxic relationship. It pulls back the curtain on how wealth and fame can shield abusers from accountability. With each allegation, the story reveals a system of enablers and a web of control that Cassie fought to escape for over a decade. The lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs is more than a recounting of personal trauma. It opens a window into the psychological dynamics of power, manipulation, and control. Understanding the full context of Cassie Ventura's allegations requires a deeper look at how abusers can entrap victims emotionally and physically, leveraging fear, dependency, and professional control. This section delves into the underlying behaviors and patterns that kept Cassie under Combs' influence for more than a decade. At the heart of these allegations is a complex power dynamic. Combs was not only Cassie's partner, but also her boss, mentor, and gatekeeper to success. From the start, Combs allegedly used his wealth and connections to make Cassie dependent on him. He provided her with luxury apartments, expensive cars, and designer clothes. Everything a young artist could dream of. But these gifts came with invisible strings attached. Cassie wasn't free to live her life. Every decision had to align with Combs' demands. Fame gave Combs not just wealth, but a network of enablers. His employees, bodyguards, assistants, and even record label executives allegedly turned a blind eye to the abuse. This silence was a critical tool in his control. If no one was willing to challenge him, Cassie had no one to turn to. The lawsuit describes multiple instances where staff witnessed physical assaults or helped arrange coerced sexual encounters, only to remain silent or even assist in concealing the abuse. A recurring theme in Cassie's story is isolation. The lawsuit details how Combs deliberately separated Cassie from her friends, family, and potential romantic partners. Even when she was in relationships outside of Combs' control, he allegedly found ways to sabotage them. The incident with Kid Cudi is a prime example. Blowing up his car sent a clear message. Defiance would not be tolerated. Combs allegedly inserted himself into every aspect of Cassie's life. Even her medical care was monitored by him. According to the lawsuit, Combs had her MRI results sent directly to his email when she began experiencing memory loss, likely from drug use or head injuries sustained during violent attacks. This intrusion into her personal health reinforced the message that Cassie had no privacy, no autonomy, and no escape from his influence. The concept of trauma bonding, where victims develop emotional attachments to their abusers, offers insight into why Cassie stayed with Combs for so long. The cycle of abuse she endured was not just physical, but psychological. After each brutal beating, Combs allegedly showered her with gifts, apologizing with cars, jewelry, or vacations. This intermittent reinforcement, moments of kindness interspersed with extreme violence, created a powerful psychological trap. Cassie's trauma bond with Combs was further reinforced by fear. Every attempt to leave him was met with retaliation, threats, or manipulation. When she tried to hide at a friend's house in Florida, Combs' team tracked her down with the message that her career would be over if she didn't return. Even her attorney allegedly warned her to keep Combs happy. These ultimatums made it clear leaving Combs would mean losing everything: her career, her friendships, even her safety. Another critical element in the lawsuit is the role of drugs and alcohol. Combs allegedly introduced Cassie to ecstasy early in their relationship, and substance use soon became a tool to keep her compliant. Cassie was forced to take drugs before and during the freak-offs to disassociate from the trauma she was experiencing. The lawsuit describes how these sessions left her so physically drained that she required IV fluids to recover. Over time, Cassie became dependent on drugs and alcohol, using them to numb the emotional and physical pain. Her struggle with addiction persisted even after she left Combs, a lasting consequence of the years of abuse. Substance abuse is often a symptom of unresolved trauma, and Cassie's case highlights how abusers can exploit addiction to maintain control over their victims. Combs didn't just use physical violence to control Cassie, he weaponized fear. The lawsuit describes how he forced her to carry his gun, knowing it made her uncomfortable, just to remind her of the danger he posed. His unpredictable behavior kept Cassie constantly on edge. She never knew when a seemingly normal evening might spiral into violence, or when a conversation with another man might trigger a brutal beating. One of the most disturbing allegations is how Combs used surveillance and psychological manipulation to keep Cassie under his thumb. Even after she thought she had deleted incriminating videos, Combs showed her that he had copies. This subtle but devastating act demonstrated that she could never truly escape his control. He always had leverage over her. The lawsuit also sheds light on how the entertainment industry's culture of silence enabled Combs' behavior. Record label executives allegedly warned Cassie that her career would be destroyed if she didn't comply with Combs' demands. Even his legal team allegedly participated in the manipulation, calling Cassie to persuade her to return to Combs. This pattern of enabling reveals a broader issue within industries that prioritize profits and image over individual well-being. Cassie's experience is a grim reminder of the high cost of speaking out. Victims often face significant backlash when they try to expose powerful abusers, and the fear of retaliation can keep them trapped in silence for years. It's no surprise that it took Cassie over a decade to come forward with these allegations. Doing so meant not only reliving the trauma, but also risking her personal safety and professional reputation. For many, the question is inevitable: why didn't Cassie leave sooner? The lawsuit provides a nuanced answer. Leaving an abuser is rarely a straightforward decision, especially when the abuser holds power over every aspect of a victim's life. In Cassie's case, Combs allegedly controlled her finances, her career, and even her friendships. Each attempt to leave was met with manipulation, threats, or violence, reinforcing the idea that escape was impossible. Even after the relationship ended, Combs' presence loomed over Cassie's life. The fear that her address was leaked online after she moved out is just one example of how survivors remain vulnerable long after the abuse ends. This perpetual state of fear is a common experience for survivors, making it difficult to rebuild their lives and find peace. Despite the immense challenges, Cassie's story is ultimately one of survival. The birth of her children gave her a renewed sense of purpose and a reason to confront the trauma she endured. She sought treatment for addiction and began intensive therapy to process the years of abuse. Her decision to file this lawsuit is a powerful act of reclaiming her narrative, an assertion that she will no longer be silenced or controlled. The lawsuit against Combs is not just about seeking justice. It's about shedding light on the systemic issues that allow abuse to flourish in silence. Cassie's bravery in coming forward sends a message to other survivors. You are not alone, and your voice matters. And that's a story, one of power, fear, survival, and silence. What Cassandra Ventura's lawsuit against Sean Combs reveals is not just the horrifying abuse she allegedly endured. It paints a picture of how wealth, fame, and influence can create a nearly unbreakable prison for those trapped inside. At the core of this case lies a chilling truth. Abuse isn't always loud or public. Often it's a slow, calculated erosion of a person's autonomy, dignity, and sense of safety. We've gone line by line through the allegations, the brutal beatings, the coerced sexual encounters, the psychological warfare. What we see is a system that didn't just fail Cassie, it allegedly enabled the abuse. The complicity of those around Combs, the silence of the entertainment industry, and the relentless power dynamics at play created a cycle Cassie could barely escape. This was more than a toxic relationship. It was a campaign of domination. The question we have to ask ourselves now is, how does something like this go unchecked for so long? Was it fear of retaliation? A reluctance to cross someone as powerful as Diddy? Or is it that fame creates blind spots, places where accountability can't seem to reach? It's hard not to wonder how many others are living similar stories, stuck in silence, trapped in a system that prioritizes profit and image over justice and truth. Cassie's case reminds us of the invisible chains that power can place on a person. Even when the abuse stops, the psychological scars remain. For years, she struggled with addiction and trauma, using substances to quiet the nightmares. Her story is a stark reminder of how difficult healing can be, how recovery isn't a straight path, but a series of painful steps toward reclaiming a life once lost. This lawsuit isn't just about seeking justice. It's about taking back control. For Cassie, filing this case is an act of defiance, a declaration that she will no longer live in fear or silence. And perhaps it's also a warning to those who think they are untouchable, that no amount of money or fame can shield them from the truth forever. At the end of the day, this case forces us to confront uncomfortable realities. How many more stories like Cassie's are hidden just beneath the surface, waiting to be told? And more importantly, how can we create a world where those stories never have to happen in the first place? I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and others we cover, be sure to subscribe. And remember, sometimes the most important stories are the ones we're too afraid to tell.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here, and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.